Our lesson this morning, the good news comes to us from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had left the Sadducees speechless, they met together. One of them, a legal expert, tested him. "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You must love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law and prophets depend on these two commands." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Will you join me in prayer? Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our salvation. Amen. Jesus says that the two greatest commandments are, one, to love the Lord your God with your body, with your mind, with your spirit. In other words, with all of you. Love God in every way you can. And second, to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, as I was thinking about this, thinking about these commands, and especially this second one, you have to stop and assume with this second command that you love yourself. And you might say, well, sure, I love myself. But if we dig a little deeper, some of us right around here, some of our loved ones, struggle with loving ourselves. Some of our deepest hurts and struggles simply come from simply not loving ourselves for whatever reason. Perhaps we were given messages at some point in our lives that we are unlovable, that we are unworthy of love. Perhaps we have some hurt, some experience, some brokenness, something in our lives that makes us question our ability to be lovable. That's why I believe it's my most important mission, my life's calling, and really the church's most important message to proclaim the love of God. How much God loves each and every person. Everyone, no matter how unlovable we think we are, and no matter how unlovable we think someone else is. And hopefully, by continuing to share that message, hearing the message of God's great love for us, hopefully that will be a path to loving ourselves that then leads to loving others. If we love ourselves fully, deeply, with the love that God has for us, not a self-centered love, but a wonderful love, then we can love others with that same kind of love, that protective, uplifting, joy-seeking, encouraging, healthy love, that kind of love that God loves us with, that we can love God with, and that we can love ourselves with. That beautiful love that God has for us is the love that we are called to share as Christ's witnesses. So we've been talking about this, being witnesses in the world, and it starts with that. When we experience that love, then we can share it with others. So what does that look like? Where do we begin? Well, let's do a little review. 2 weeks ago, we talked about looking for God in the world. That's where we start. We have to know and experience God, God at work in the world, in order to be able to witness to God in the world. And so hopefully some of you have been looking a little more diligently, with eyes a little more open, for God's presence and God's action in the world around you. And then last week, Mandy talked about earworms, or really being good listeners, being really present with people, listening to other stories, and listening to the nudge of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, to know when to listen and to know when to speak or to respond in some other way. It is amazing the listening that I have done this week as I've tried just to be a little more present, a little more available to listen. I've heard some powerful stories just in this week, some deep, deep hurts and some great joys. I wonder what stories you have heard this week, how God has helped you witness by simply being a good listener. So the post-it note, most of you probably found a post-it note on your bulletin today. That's for you to write down. To write down where you have seen God, and maybe in an experience of listening through someone else's story. You don't have to write your name, you don't have to write the details of anything, but just how God is at work. We had some wonderful witnesses on the paper last week, so there's a paper out in the narthex to put your post-it notes on, just to share with our community another way to witness how God is at work. So I invite you to respond and put those on the paper again this week. This week, we look at being witnesses with willing hands. That seems pretty straightforward. If we are willing to work for God's kingdom, if we are willing to roll up our sleeves and take action to share God's love in the world, certainly we are being witnesses. As I pictured standing in this moment and pictured all of you sitting there, I thought about what a great job we do at having willing hands. So many of you serve in so many different ways. At Clothing Closet, at Tuesday Night Dinner Church, at Op House or Narrow Gate, at Hot Dogs and Spaghetti, singing in the choir, teaching Sunday school, attending Sunday school, helping with positive provisions, lighting candles as acolytes, ushering, greeting, just to name a few. And then there are the ways that we have willing hands in places beyond the church. Those of you who serve in community organizations, those of you who serve in schools, at the hospital, with your families and neighbors. There are countless ways in which we have willing hands as we are witnesses to the power of God at work in the world. And we are continuously being called into action to have willing hands for the building of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So where I would say is our growing edge here at Forest Hill, as we continue to serve with willing hands, is to continue to grow into a place where we're not an us and a them, but a we. To continue to grow in our sense of togetherness, which is our theme for this year, together. So if I can diverge just a little bit, I'm a big Downton Abbey fan. I have been getting ready. This has been a big week in the Downton Abbey world. I've been getting ready by rewatching episodes in preparation for the movie, and I saw it Thursday night. It does not disappoint for those of you who are Downton Abbey fans. For those of you who don't know, just a little bit about Downton Abbey. It's a drama that went on for 6 seasons on PBS from the BBC about the Crawley family, Lord and Lady Grantham and their relations, aristocrats who are in charge of a large manor house and estate called Downton Abbey. The drama is about all of the family dynamics of this aristocratic family upstairs and all of the staff. The servants, the butler, the housekeeper, the maids, the footmen, the kitchen staff, who primarily work downstairs, care for the house, and serve the family. As I have reflected on Downton Abbey and why do I like it so much, I realized one of the things that I like so much is how, as the characters develop throughout the show and now in the movie, how they share their lives together. The divisions between the upstairs people and the downstairs people become less and less, even in the midst of their very delineated hierarchical system. The upstairs people need the downstairs people, and the downstairs people need the upstairs people. And even though the societal norms keep them in their certain roles, the natural progression of time and human tendency is for the lines to get more and more blurry and for everyone to be more and more on a level playing field. If that's true for Downton Abbey, shouldn't it be so much more true for us as the church, the body of Jesus Christ? While we here at Forest Hill have been blessed with so much, and we have so much to give, those whom we seek to serve also have so much to give as well. And those of us who have so much are also in such great need. As God's witnesses, we are called to serve. We're called to have willing hands in whatever ways God has gifted us and given us the time to serve. At the same time, we're not called to serve from an us serving them. We're called to find ways to join together with those around us, to help others find their purpose, to help others feel the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to serve alongside us, to help others become part of the we who we are in serving a world in need and receiving the blessings of both giving and receiving. This is all part of loving our neighbor as ourselves, giving to someone exactly what we seek, what we hope for. I was thinking about willing hands, rolling up our sleeves and taking action, but also being called to have willing hands to say, hey, come along, come help me out, come and serve alongside me, and let's see what God is doing together. And just imagine what a powerful witness when our collective becomes more and more a group of servants, not divided up in different kinds, but a diverse, colorful, creative collective of all kinds of people. Not us and them, but all God's people, beautiful people, serving together. In order to be God's witnesses, we have to experience God in the world. We have to be genuine, not doing or sharing more than we need to, but simply being present with those around us, nurturing relationships, being a good friend, genuinely listening, and inviting people to take action alongside in whatever way we serve. So your homework this week is to roll up your sleeves, serve in some way, building God's kingdom. And since we're pretty good at that already, I challenge you to take the next step, to work alongside someone you haven't worked with before. Invite someone to serve in a new way. Be it a part of the we that we are together, the body of Christ. This witnessing thing is not hard. And it is not simple. God continues providing opportunities for us to be faithful. So I challenge you this week, continue to seek God's ways to be witnesses of the powerful love of God in Jesus Christ. Be God's witnesses to that in the world. Amen.